Welcome back, everyone, to R2Cast number 153. The last episode we had was with Jock Gibson. Jock is the other Nuffield scholar this year from Scotland. So episode number 152, if you want to go and listen to that. We're actually recording this episode as we're about to start, about an hour away from the 150th episode being released. So kind of crazy we've sort of hit that stage, which is quite exciting. The next episode we have is number 154, which is with Lucy George, which we haven't actually filmed yet, so I haven't I don't have too much of a lowdown on what's coming then. But today's episode is one that is quite funny. There's loads of different ways you come about an episode. And this one came about from me seeing a photo on Instagram, and our guest today won't know what this photo is, which I will tell him in a minute. But I'll tell you that once I've introduced you. Our guest today is Hugh Evans. Hugh, would you like to say hello?
Hello, how did?
Just before we get started with another episode of the R2 Cast, I would like to thank our primary sponsors, Howden Rural, formerly known as A-Plan Rural. Howden are heavily involved in the social media scene in the ag space, with over 100,000 followers on Instagram. They use this following to host social media takeovers with farmers throughout the country to showcase their stories, as well as posting to their rural community blog with further articles about these people in the sector. On top of this, they like to support initiatives that are championing the British agricultural industry, such as myself. So thank you to Howden Rural for that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming on, man, and looking forward to this.
Thanks for having me.
And that photo was, it was. I believe it's yourself, slightly different haircut, topless in a field with some cattle.
It's not me,
Is it not you? Okay. It's not a different haircut, it's a different person. I was like, this is different. This seems fun. So who is it in that photo then, Hugh? Who's that?
that's Adam. He works and lives here.
Okay, well, here, it certainly worked. It certainly made me
He,
think, what's happening here?
it's definitely worth keeping him with his top off.
Was it? I must say that wasn't strictly the reason. It wasn't like, oh, like look at Adam. It was more, this just seems like an interesting story. What's going on here? So just for the viewers' sake, could you give us a bit of background about who you are, and we'll get into three pools in a bit.
So my name's Hugh Evans. I grew up in London, then did a master's in civil and environmental engineering in Leeds. And while I was there, I had a year out halfway through my master's and happened to be at a friend's house, watched a lecture about permaculture, thought it as an idea was really good, and then kind of redesigned my master's to focus at looking at landscape scale land management as an engineering solution. Most of the UK's landscape is farming. So I was looking at how could farming become the solution to society's problems, be that flood risk, water quality, climate change, and like even within like social aspects of kind of supporting rural communities. And there's loads of opportunities there. And I feel like the civil service kind of know this, but no one knows how to make farmers do anything different. And I had the naivety and arrogance to think like, oh, I'll take on a farm and like I'll take some of these ideas I've been reading about and give them a go. And convinced my family to mortgage a family home, convinced a bank to lend me money, bought a farm, talked some of my friends into kind of trying to do it with me. And here we are, 6 years, more than 6 years later, still here, still going.
Here you talk about naivety, and then you talk about 6 years later. So something's obviously working. I think we should do the obvious. There'll be a lot of people listening, and I think it would be fair to include me in this to a point. Obviously, get an idea of what it is, but explain permaculture.
For me, permaculture is just a design system. It's a way of reviewing your decisions, and it's just a way of thinking about things. It's not a prescription of like this. It's just how are you thinking about that?
And I guess what I'm trying to work out in my head is how did it work alongside environmental engineering?
How did it work alongside? I guess What was my title? The title was Nitrogen Phosphorus Management at Catchment Level for Eutrophication Control and Resource Efficiency.
Okay.
What does that mean? Nutrient pollution. It's just one of those. I was looking at all sorts of different ways of farming differently. Came across a few papers that basically argued that within conventional farming, if you apply all of best practice, all of like the tech to control where you're applying your fertilizer, keeping 5 meter buffer zones, you do all the best practice stuff, you still don't sort any of the problems. You just minimize them.
Okay.
Meanwhile, it's rural land is like the opportunity to make an ecological functioning landscape that has benefits. It's not about minimizing your pollution. It's like, what benefits can we achieve? And applying in a farming context, permaculture was the, as a kind of getting taught the engineering mindset, the engineering way of thinking about things, permaculture worked with how I kind of reflect about things.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. And before we actually get on to how you operate and how the system operates, let's go back to 7 or 8 years ago, Hugh. Where did you see yourself in 7 or 8 years before you saw that lecture, before you were at that person's house?
Who knows? I was a student, I was having a good time.
Did you ever see it involving farming? I guess is my question.
Yes,
Okay.
but with no detail applied to that statement.
It's I love I've we've had a few folk on that, are now either completely linked with or actively involved in the agricultural sector, and they've come from somewhere like London, somewhere so detached from that. What stemmed your interest? Was it family? Was it because it's I think what I'm saying is it's rare to be from in London and have an interest in agriculture. Does that I, and that's not like a that's not a what's the word? That's not a stereotype. It's just naturally the case.
Okay, so like a couple of things. My parents have got a house near Carmarthen in West Wales, and we go stay there. Well, mainly me and my dad would go stay there a lot because we'd be going to the rugby, and just spending time kicking around in farming country in Carmarthenshire, and it's been like I quite like hanging out here. It's a bit more peaceful than the middle of London. And then also, I generally think like David Attenborough, it's like everyone grew up watching that stuff, just like has that affinity of like natural systems and likes that. And then put the two together, hanging out in the countryside, looking at squirrels.
Yeah, here, what more could you ask for? And here, in the light of the death of a massively popular guy, Matthew Perry, in the last few weeks, is I think you've mentioned the person we as a country need to protect. I love David Attenborough, but he's not 40. I think we forget just how old he is. Now, I don't know his exact age, but I assume 94 or 5. He is very old, and his brain is so perfectly sharp. It's insane.
It's very impressive.
It is. And like you say, I'm guessing from when you were at uni, you and I are similar ages. 20 odd years ago, I was a kid listening to him, and he was still almost 80. It's pretty impressive. But yeah, I totally am with you on that. I am one of those folk that grew up watching that and grew up having a pretty strong affinity for the natural world, even if it took me a bit more time to find my way into it. You mentioned, Hugh, I really like this actually. We are pretty bad for, and it's probably incentive, financial incentive driven, and along that sort of line in agriculture, looking at how we are better for the environment, not being a how we're better, but how we can reduce our impact almost to tick boxes. That's how I see it. And I think you put it into words much better than I've ever really considered. And you mentioned just after that how we can use agriculture to be a solution to so many rural issues such as flooding and so on and so forth. Yeah, you mentioned three or four. I can't remember the exact ones you said. But what sort of solutions are you talking about there?
Was in how can farming be good?
Yeah, for sure.
The overarching term is ecosystem services. Food, fuel, fiber, medicine. Those are like four agricultural outputs. That's in like production. God, I mean, there's a pretty exhaustive list. It goes on and on and on. Flood risk, water quality, air quality, carbon sequestration, biodiversity preservation. There's loads of them.
I've really got me thinking on a way. What was it? You said food, fuel, fiber, and medication, wasn't it?
Medicine. Yeah,
What
so,
could
and
be?
even the medicine, you can expand that bigger of like, I mean, was it? There's something in daffodils that people farm daffodils for. Aspirin can be made from willow. Honey can have medicinal. There's like medical grade honey. Then you could look at like just well-being. If you took someone and put them in your field or your woodland, would they feel better? Is that a measurable kind of agricultural output? I was in a conversation with someone like in our catchment. We've got lots of hospitals in and around Abergavenny, and there was a discussion around like if you took the patients out of the hospitals and made them spend a bit more time in nature, and their well-being improved, would the total amount of drugs that you need to give all those patients be reduced? Could you measure that reduction within the wastewater coming out of the hospitals? Could that farmer then claim that they've saved that much kind of drug use?
I would just like to quickly interrupt the show for a minute to give you some extra information about our primary sponsors, Howden Rural, the new name for A Plan Rural. Howden Rural provide bespoke insurance cover for farms and estates. This could be for anything from tractors and machinery to a new exciting diversification venture. Be sure to check out Howden Rural today. It's the here as someone that if that could happen. I hate the idea of using medication, taking pills. I minimize it as much as I can. But it's like you say, the trouble is the intangibility of it. How can we measure that? I think it's massive. I mean, when you were younger, you'd feel rubbish or whatever, and mum would be like, just go outside for a bit and you'll feel better. And it's so true. If you wake up in the morning, you feel, I don't mean intensely ill, I just mean you're feeling rubbish and you stay in bed, you feel rubbish all day. If you go out, you feel like shit for half an hour and then it gets better. Like, it's amazing the power of that. And at first, I hated it because I wanted to stay and play the PlayStation, but when you grow up and you realize the benefit of those things, I wish the NHS, or not just the NHS, just whoever your service provider is across the world,
Yeah.
would be capable of utilizing that sort of thing. I just don't know how that infrastructure is created, but it's so interesting to think about it because I agree. It's amazing the benefits it having. I mean, even like recreational sites, councils, making parks accessible to people to just get outside and go to a pond and see some ducks flying or walk through a bit with leaves falling. It's amazing what it can do.
Yeah.
Amazing. And I think we're in a world of, you're obviously on Instagram yourself, Hugh, but that sort of, and obviously I as well built a business around it, but the sort of social media life of that constant push and that constant, which people get caught up on, they really do, and they forget there's a world outside this little thin glass brick in your hand, so yeah, no, yeah, you put that very well, very, very interesting. But when you said food, fuel, and fiber and medicine, I was like, what could we do for F for medicine? So what about food, fuel, fiber, and fixing people? Four F's.
I mean, you could even get rid of your food. Your food is your medicine.
True, yeah.
If it's grown properly and kind of the whole nutrient density kind of idea.
Very true. No, I liked it. I like that. I like that. So tell us you're 6 years in now, and we'll get to that and where you are now. But you talked about your naivety and jumping in and putting, basically, by the sounds of it, everything you had into taking the place on. Tell us about that process.
It happened surprisingly quickly. I wrote a business plan. Before you have a piece of land, you have little idea what you can actually do with it. So it had to be like the most open-ended business plan you can think of. And basically, it's thinking about if you're moving from a conventional system to the long-term goal is a permanent agriculture, permaculture. Is a an edible landscape, diverse edible landscape of perennial crops. To move from a conventional system to this kind of idyllic goal, you're going to have to plant some trees, definitely. And in the process, you're going to take land out of productivity, and there's going to be a drop in productivity. And then eventually, in the long term, as those trees mature, theoretically, you might have higher productivity overall, but across more different types of product. So financially, we're looking for a bridge to move from conventional agriculture to permanent agriculture. And our financial bridge is people and getting people to come here. So yeah, that the business plan is around we need people. They give us the financial stability. It means we don't have the pressure on the farming that allows us to be creative, and try things out. And like a bunch of 25-year-olds from cities are not going to go and take over a farm and suddenly become really sick at farming instantly. And then started the hunt for farms. This was actually the first place I looked at, and I was like, this is perfect. And then looked at a small place and was like, I will forever regret it not being that place. And then managed to get hold of here.
What do you think it was that made you think that this is the one?
Wait till you come here, it's special.
Really? Is that
Just
an
like and people that come here. It is a silly place. Check out some pictures, any listeners of get on the Instagram and stuff like that. Like a naturally just like absolutely stunning, beautiful farm.
Certainly from the photos I've seen, agreed. And just for anyone listening that hasn't, I don't think I've mentioned the name of the Instagram yet. It's Three Pools underscore permaculture farm. Is that right?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like Three Pools will probably come up.
Three pools. Search three pools.
So you mentioned about a few 25-year-olds going onto a farm. They're not going to be sick at farming straight away. In your, as you mentioned, naivety, was there a time where you thought that was the case? Or were you always, there was no delusion to grandeur, like you knew how this was going to go?
We were just like, this is going to be nothing like any of us think it's going to be. That's pretty much what we were working with.
And when you're talking about the 25-year-olds, how many of you is there, and how many folk are committed entirely to this? How is that business, that's that part of the structure working?
It was three of us initially, and then another of my best mates joined just like a couple months later after that. One of them still is here full time. How did that work? I mean, we were 25 and no idea what was going on, but we're having a good time. It kind of, yeah, who knows?
Are you 25 now? Yeah.
Am I 25 now? No, I'm 31 now.
Oh, but it started at 25. All right, sorry. I just gauged on the 6 years at uni. I just assumed you were similar ages. I was going to say if you need a 1 year older person, 26, to come down and have a bit of fun, I'd happily do it. No, I think the bit I'm probably trying to ask is how many are you full time? Are you what's the case there? You're full
I'm
time and
very
one of
much full time, yeah. At the start, it was all full time, and that's actually something I'm working on at the moment, is how we have the model of how we run events that works now. And what we're doing at the moment is kind of moving from just like a small number of people who are full time to having a lot more people, but who are doing less of the time. And that just allows so much more space and time for everybody.
It's more productive, more efficient, however difficult to get, I would assume, looking in. Is that right or is that wrong? Maybe that's wrong.
What do you mean by difficult to get?
Well, I assume if you've got, let's say, three full-time people, that is three people probably doing quite a few things that isn't their exact skill set because they're there full-time. Whereas if you go then down to six, seven, eight, nine, ten, however many, part-time, more focused, probably better at the one or two things they're doing. But I assume that's harder to come by because it's harder to get more part-time. But maybe that's wrong. Is that
I guess
wrong?
that's the thing that we've got here is like the other side of permaculture is it's a lot around community building. And when we first came, I'd say we were an unintentional community.
Oh, that's
Even
so nice.
up until now, we were kind of like an unintentional community. And now we've kind of realized we actually need to bring in some of the like bits of thinking that come from established intentional communities. Because it was just us in a house, and then it's like more people in the house. And now it's like, how many people live here? Like eight or nine at the moment.
That's brilliant. It just sounds like a party house with a lot of farming on the
It's and well-being. There's the healthy side to everything as well.
go. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's amazing, no matter how community comes in a million forms. It's amazing, speaking about sort of natural medication, what that does, like you're saying about wellness, like it's a I am a pack animal. I know I am. And I've probably, well, what, I don't know. For the, more than 2 years, I've been single. And yes, I've got a lot of friends around me and a lot of things and whatever. But in the last couple of months, that's changed. And it's amazing how much that, is the word companionship? I don't know what the word is. That person being there, and then also having that extended group, how important that is for mental health. It's insane. You can get so isolated on yourself, especially. And maybe not the exact thing you're doing here, because yours is more community-based in general and also working with the public, but in farming as a sector and the generalization, it's quite easy to get into. Definitely quite easy to get into and to a dangerous extent. But before we get into it, you've obviously got the sort of system of you have the way you're running the land, that is a long-term plan. That's hopefully down the line going to be a profitable system in itself. But at the minute you're employing the ability of, financial stability through people, as you said, which we'll get into as it is a massive part of the business. But could you tell us a bit about Three Pools from a what is happening on the ground perspective? Have you got livestock? Have you got what crops have you got? What is the system?
So we produce cows, sheep, and pigs. Trying to take everything through to slaughter, breeding everything, taking everything to, through to slaughter. Not coming from an agricultural background, the like whole buying and selling all the time just confuses me. It's just like I want to birth things, I want to grow them. And we'll get meat at the end, and then I know how to sell meat. Kind of cows kept outside all year round with bale grazing in the winter. Everything's living off just grass. The sheep we do house for a bit to protect the grass. There's the whole rotational grazing, using electric fences, moving water troughs around. The pigs. They're kind of rotating around lots of different paddocks all the time. What other things we're growing? We've got the history of the farm. There's some extremely old pear trees here. Peri pear trees, they got tested genetically unique to the farm. So we're making a kind of genetically unique to here peri. We also, there's an orchard here, so we're producing apple juice. We can sell that through the bar. A lot of the meat is kind of sold through our events. What else are we producing? We planted a vineyard I think there's about 12,000 vines went in. What else are we growing? We've got bees producing firewood to sell at events, fuel, fiber, wool stuff. I know badger face sheep are quite an itchy wool, but it is beautiful. What else are we doing? Apples, pears, plums, ferment things.
Who's that?
fermenting things, that's always good.
Well, there's a longevity to it as well. You can
Yeah.
sell something longer, and yeah, definitely. So a few things, it would be fair to say. The just quickly on the livestock, I think you just said it for the wool thing, but I just didn't quite catch you. What breeds of livestock is it come is are you using? I'm guessing it's quite varied, but that's just an assumption.
So the cattle are Belted Galloways.
Good choice. I don't know if you know this, but I am currently in Dumfries.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Lovely.
and quite often the cattle crossing the road sign, it's a black cow. Someone's went and tippexed.
They're a beautiful cow. They're smaller, so they don't make a mess in the middle of winter. Good mothers. I've seen one give birth so far. That was like the key getting cows is like, I don't really want to help.
Okay, fair.
And they do that all by themselves pretty well, 100% success rate on like over 30 calvings. So that's cows, sheep. We inherited some badger face sheep with the farm when we moved here. Recently been bringing in slightly different tufts because I want to get a bigger carcass on them. So I introduced some Kerry Hill, and this year we're bringing in some Ryland.
All brilliant choices, by the way.
So Kerry Hill and Ryland being quite local to here as well, so kind of the local traditional heritage breeds. And then pigs, we've got large black pigs, rarer than pandas.
I'll
South
be honest, when you said
Carolina.
that, I obviously heard a large white because they're everywhere, but I've never heard a large blacks.
Yeah, rarer than a panda, but that's good when they're alive. And then you put it on a plate and you're like, rarer than a panda. And you're like, oh. Yeah,
When you say it that way, you make a good point.
but
I do
they're
believe
dual
that.
purpose, so pork and bacon.
Brilliant.
We built our own butchery on site as well now, so we're kind of hanging and processing all the stuff ourselves.
That was going to be my next question. Had you done that? Is so everything that's reared on your farm, you're processing? No.
Some of it we are now selling wholesale.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just feels so circular. It feels like you're trying to do as much as you possibly can to minimize the requirement for fuel, for example, to transport stock elsewhere. And yeah, it's a I think it's the type of system everyone wants to run, but doesn't for that financial reason that you're talking about, you know? And I'm quite impressed at the sort of awareness of, well, we're aware this isn't going to do it all on its own at the minute. We have to generate another system to allow it to do that in the future, which will then get you to stage that you'll be that place that people are looking to as to how to operate a place, which is yeah, it's commendable first off. So it's impressive. It really is, especially to consider that. It's only been there 6 years. Well, it's not been there 6 years. You've only been there 6 years. I'm pretty sure the place was there before. When you mentioned wool, it's a subject at the minute. It's a, you know, if you're just getting your wool clipped and sent, it's pointless from a monetary perspective. It's purely a welfare tool. You seem pretty markety. You seem like you can turn most things into a business. Are you utilizing that? Are you adding value to that wool product, or are you just selling it like everyone does?
We did send off a load to get made into blankets and body throws. I'm actually got one on right now. They're really nice. They come, the final product's very expensive. And so we haven't kind of sent every year to go do that. We've actually just composted a lot of it.
Okay, yeah.
There's a limitation to how many, like, more than 100-pound blankets you can sell.
It's a Yule's got a wool Yule get excited for Christmas. Wool has got a lot of utilization, putting over the top of like we're talking garden size plants here, keep temperature in as well. But yeah, it's an expensive, it's such a confusing thing, wool, because it's not an expensive product, but any product is ludicrously expensive.
It's mental.
If you can find a market for it all, perfect. I assume you'd be putting it all that way. Probably your most profitable business there. But yeah, it is a tricky one. I love to get into fruit production. It always interests me. I think one of my favorite episodes, and it might be quite up your street to listen to, Hugh, maybe when you're out working, was with Tablas Creek, which you may or may not have heard of. I'm going to guess you haven't. They're not massive, but they're the f world's first organic. Maybe that's right. The world's first organic winery. That's right. And it's in the States. And they have very much like yourself, an all-encompassing system. It's not just grapes. They have llamas and sheep in the fields where the grapes are, because they're extended to the point they can't be reached. Use fertilizer, all this sort of stuff. It's very much an integrated system. So it might be up your street. Can't for the life of me remember what number it is. It's about 66. It might be of interest. But yeah, the apples, the pears, and the plums side. Is that sold to local shops, or are you selling them yourself, or is it not quite enough to be selling?
Apple juice
You did say on the bar,
is
so you did.
the way
That's right,
to
yeah.
process it, and then trying to shift loads of apples, and that I could see that getting complicated. So making it into apple juice, we've got a route to market for apple juice.
Cider, would you consider that?
We've made a load of cider. There's some people that make really good cider. We made some less good cider. We made some incredible cider vinegar.
Okay.
That's like super high grade product. I'll let the people that are really good at cider make the cider, and then we'll sell the really good stuff rather than having a bottle of some below grade cider.
Less good cider doesn't sound like one that sells too well.
Perry is really, Perry, I'm a big fan of our Perry.
Tell us about that. Tell us about that, because I don't know much about that
It's pear cider.
at all.
We've got the second biggest pear tree in Britain by girth at chest height.
The second biggest, right? For a couple of questions. First off, quite cool. But how is that a thing that's commonly measured, or?
I had the ancient tree identifier for Monmouthshire come over to have a look at it, and that's how you measure it.
No way.
But everyone looks at it and goes, "What the hell? How is that pear tree? It's enormous."
It?
So it grew from seeds. So it's got no graft line on it.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to see if you've got a photo on Instagram. I'm just looking at it at the minute, see if there's any other.
There will be. It's a pretty remarkable tree. You can't actually shake that one. It's too big to shake.
Do you have any desires to ever run out one day and find the widest one and steal it?
There's a rumor that HS2 cut it down,
Oh, really?
but it's not a happy story, so
No, it's
I've
not. I
told
mean, it would mean you're number one, but
that.
that's a weird thing, isn't it? And now to sit back and realize that it's cancelled, it's a. I'm not saying it was a good thing, but it seems to have went very far to now stop.
Though I think I did read an article the other day that the pear tree that they had cut down, they'd like dug up the stump and replanted it somewhere else, and that stump has showed signs of life.
Okay, so there's a bit
So
of.
I don't know if it still counts as the biggest, but
Yours feels more, it's where it was. Yeah. Oh, God, here. Do you know what? I need to get someone on the podcast talking about HS2. Because I didn't realize, I am terrible for not watching the news. I just can't be bothered with it because it feels like 90% negativity. And then this is what's happening. But it's amazing the impact it's had.
Yeah.
And then it disappears. It's not even happening. Jesus. Anyway, that's another morning, a morning episode at some point. But yeah, a lot of wine on the go by the sounds of it. That's quite a process to get into, is it not?
Yeah, so that we planted the vines May of last year, and then it kind of didn't rain again. So what doesn't kill them will make them stronger, but it may have killed more than we'd hoped.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's still definitely like 10,000 vines or so still alive, so it's not the end of the world. But it did set them back a little bit. And then it's going to be kind of 2027, 2028 until we've actually got any wine.
That's exciting.
That is very exciting.
You're gonna have your own wine.
Yeah.
You're gonna have three pools of wine. Have you thought about the name for it?
It's called Dewin wine.
Dewin,
Dewin.
and that means
That's a
where
separate Instagram if you want people to follow that one, or you can follow
Dewin wine.
that. Yeah, Dewin. It means wizard in Welsh. It's also an anagram of wind. That was realized later.
No, it wasn't. No, you meant that. That was, there was nothing was realized later. So is this purely based? Is this Instagram going to be the natural progression from we're going to make wine to get into the point of making wine?
It's supposed. I'll be honest, I don't actually use Instagram at all in any kind of way, but
Yeah.
I recognize that it's a tool, and so as a team, we have an Instagram for Three Pools, and we have an Instagram for Dewin Wine.
Who's in charge of the Instagram?
Tom,
Well,
yeah,
shout
Derek.
out Tom and was Derek, you said?
No, it changes from time to time who's in charge. I think Tom has overall. He's a kind of creative.
Well,
Wizard.
shout out because it's gorgeous. It really is. And I'm not just talking about Adam's photo with the cattle. Oh man, do you know what I said to Hugh off camera, to those listening, that I've been in Monmouth twice this year, having never heard of it before. But I kind of want to make a third journey down. You're Abergavenny, but it's basically the same, isn't it? It's next door, is it not? Yeah, so I'll have to I do what I can down again. But let's actually look at the let's look away from the actual farming side, you and look at that sort of necessity that you pinpointed from a financial perspective of what else is happening. Now I say what else. We've already covered about seven things you're doing, different sort of talking about not putting all your eggs in one basket. Your basket's getting to the point that you need a lorry. What is that financial stability? What's it in the form of at the minute?
So events, we actually now have a premise license. So we're licensed to do events every single weekend. We're licensed to go till 6 a.m. every Friday and Saturday.
What's licensed? Everything's licensed till 6 a.m.
Like music and booze, kind of.
No way!
Yeah.
6 a.m. That's mad.
We're like, I and my friends who came here, we kind of have a dance music background. We're ravers. And that's when we first came to the farm here. We kind of put on a party as we do kind of most places we go, and we're like, that was really good. And then we put on another party and we're like, cool, this is our jam. And then lots of friends that we have are involved with the industry, and then we got them and their music labels putting on parties, and it just kind of escalated from there. And then we started doing weddings as well. But obviously over time, it's like the barns were not in the best state when we first came here. And then we've been building, fixing up the barns, building nicer toilets, showers. The site just really works well for kind of small scale festivals. So between 100 and 500 people here. Most weekends now, between the start of April and the end of September. And now we've done it up nicer, we're doing quite nice weddings as well. But like it would get tiring to do just one thing. And I'll be honest, my main interest is the music events. I like good music. And then we also do the yoga, wellness retreat kind of stuff because we've got to give the land a bit of a break every now and then from having that many people there. So the smaller scale stuff, a bit more wholesome, helps keep the team happy if they kind of get a bit of a break. And it's something we believe in of kind of bringing people come here for dance music. And then they look around and they're like, what is this place? Why are you doing this differently? And then you've got them asking you questions about farming. So rather than it being like, we're sustainable farming and we're looking for sustainable farming type people to come here, we're looking for dark music people to come here, and then we're going to show them something different.
I love that. Oh man, I love it. It's
And
so
then
cool.
we'll be like, oh, you like coming here? Come to a wellness retreat, come to something that's a little bit healthier than like getting pissed.
Yeah. That's that. So like you mentioned it as financial sort of requirement, but that's never going to change, is it? That's always going to be there now.
Yeah, you'd be silly to get rid of what it is now. Now, then it's like an opportunity just to bring people here to show them that thinking a bit differently about how you design and manage a landscape, show them that it works, show them how it works, show them what it looks like, and then change what people are expecting when they look at a bit of rural land. It's not those tiny little hedges that don't do anything. It's like beautiful landscape, flourishing with edible stuff everywhere.
It's so cool. It really is cool. And to go to be at the stage where essentially, like you're saying, 26 weekends of the year, you've got something on the go there. Because when I saw events, what I assumed was, something along the lines of weddings, events, not just for other people, but essentially created by other people. You're running them, but created by other people. The dance side and the sort of music side and that side of it, are you guys running that yourselves, or are contractors coming in? Do you have staff for that? How does that work?
We provide the kind of basic framework of what you need of toilets, a bar, food, understanding where the power is, and kind of we make it licensed and functional, and then people come in and they do the creative sides, the decor, the music. And for me, the real art in event organizing that I've seen is how to create a vibe. And that's the true art of running an event, of managing the vibe. And that's how you talk to people from the moment you're trying to get them to come to an event.
And I think the thing that I'm probably struggling with is you've got so many of these events. Why are so many people coming to so many? Does it not get sort of, what's the word? Like just what, what's the saying? The more, no, not the more things change, the more they stay the same. I'm basically thinking down the route that like if there's one on every weekend, is it the same people coming? Is it different people?
There'll be people that come to more than one, but that's like we've got your trance event, you've got your more like house techno event, you've got your more drum and bass kind of bass music, dubstep kind of sounds, you've got your more like worldly folk type sound, and then the weddings is surprisingly like a lot of people that been to the festival type stuff are there at the wedding, and are like the way that people our age seem to have weddings these days is a lot less kind of traditional. It's a bit more like it's a day festival, and they know that we can make that happen for them quite easily. So that's the model.
And you're clearly at the stage that this is pretty established now, Hugh. It's quite clearly just part of what Three Pools is. Wait, what stage? When did that become the case? I assume you're ready for 2024, and 2024 is probably already half booked or whatever, and it's ready to go. But was how long did that take to get to that stage?
Well, like 2020 was going to be our big year, and then that got postponed. And then 2021 was going to be like, okay, it's going to happen. And then it wasn't until halfway through the year that it could happen.
Yeah.
And so 2022 was the first big year, but it had been building for 3 years before it could actually happen.
And now, say about 2024 being fully booked. Is that the case? Is that how you operate? Or
There's a couple free weekends at the moment.
that's amazing.
And then what we're kind of doing at the moment now is also, now that we've fixed up these barns, we actually have places inside where it doesn't rain inside, and it's not really cold inside. So now we're moving into putting on winter events as well. You obviously can't have as many people here because it's a bit cold to camp between November to March. So now we're doing kind of food events. This weekend we've got like a craft market, winter craft market. The weekend after we've got a guest chef flying in from Amsterdam.
Wow.
So then the idea of the guest chef events is say up to 50 people all eat the same thing at the same time at the same table. So rather than like your
Okay.
restaurant, you go all sit and you're isolated and you have what you want. It's like, no, we're all eating together. And we're all experiencing the same thing at the same time.
And people mainly from the local area come to that, is that right?
You get people from all over the place.
Do you?
It's really interesting who actually turns up to that kind of thing. It's like, how did you find this?
Is there a bit of, don't know if surrealness is a word, but is that a thing now? Because you've created this, as we've said a couple of times, in 6 years, you've went from living in a city to now having this, can I just say, extremely niche product if you encompass everything. I'd be very surprised. Certainly 153 episodes, I never heard this before. I don't know how long it'll take me before I hear of a farm with trance raves and weddings. It's so amazingly niche, which is what I absolutely love about it. But is there a time you sort of sit back and think, shit, how did we get here so quickly?
Yeah, there's a bit of that of like, what the hell? But cool. This is just like some people can. I can't claim that this was me. I had an idea. I spoke to some people. They engaged with the idea. They're the ones that have kind of driven things to happen.
Yeah.
I've just kind of hurried it along, ushered it along, just supported them to deliver on ideas.
Is there what size is the farm? I forgot to ask that.
140 acres.
140. As things progress, do you see that increasing, or are you have you got absolutely ample to do with what you need at the minute?
I can see how you can make livestock systems more efficient by using a larger amount of land. Because there are economies of scale in some things, and it would allow. It would allow kind of more rest within the system on this home patch. If we had two patches a similar size, rather at the moment we keep it as two flerds, the flock and the herd together as one.
Okay, yeah, it sounds like it.
So there's like the breeding group and the group that don't want to get pregnant. And those two groups are rotating around different sides of the farm. Then each year they swap what side of the farm they're on so that young stock's away from parasites. If there was another farm a similar size, one group could live on one farm and one group could live on this farm and rotate the whole of each patch. And that would build a lot more rest into both patches of land. I can see how there would be production benefits from doing that.
Is the livestock enterprise organic? No.
No,
No.
I personally don't think we would see the benefits. I mean, we're able to get, we've got a story. and we can communicate that story. We've got a connection to our customers. For me, organic doesn't go nearly far enough for how good it should be.
What do you mean?
We're just like, we're not just trying to cut chemicals out of farming.
But
We're
that's all it's seen as.
huh?
That's all it's seen as to so many people.
Yeah. We're trying to create like a diverse perennial ecosystem that's highly functioning, that we've thought about where the overland flow is, we've thought about where the wind is going, we've thought about shade within the system. Like, there's so much more you can think about than how do we not use ivermectin. And if you thought about all those things and you use your ivermectin on like an incredibly cold day, so that the kind of like the bugs aren't as awake, they're not going to come across it. Like, it can degrade within the system in a way that you're creating a biodiverse, resilient system. A resilient system can have a chemical kind of stress factor come into it, and it can survive that. It's just like being extreme and like, no, we're not having any of that. Like, no white wormers for the sheep. It's like sometimes just for their health, they need a little bit, but like we'd love to get rid of it too. But can we grow enough willow that we can give them enough willow in one go that we've actually claimed that we've wormed them, or pumpkins, or whatever you're going to use as your natural wormer?
All right, what's the one that chicory you implement that in a grass
Okay.
system is? It acts as one, doesn't it? It's amazing how much you've considered. It's actually quite imp well, it's not. I was going to say it's actually quite impressive. It's actually quite mind-boggling, is what I was going to say. You have considered everything. You really have. Across everything, you how many people, so how many full-time equivalents do you have?
Well, I'll just say at the moment I'm full time, got 3 full time employees, then got 4 part time people, and then 3 slightly less part time people.
Like can almost contracting at some things.
Yeah. Well, like contracting. I don't know, how do you define contracting? It's
Yeah.
like not like you're putting in a fence kind of, it's less, more like a day a week to think about some element of some kind of thing, like running the bar, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's class. It really is. And I
I
got
think I got to like 12 or 13 people there,
Yeah.
not
Yeah.
kind of thing. Yeah.
And I assume as the events side grow, you mentioned you'd sort of what's the word? Renovated some buildings. Is there more to renovate? Is there?
We've stopped for now because we've kind of put quite a lot of cash in. We need to make some money back. But there's one other barn that it's the oldest barn on the farm. It's a bit separated from the rest of the main farm kind of area.
Okay.
Played with the idea so far in my head, I want to see it become like a cooking school. But we're years away from making that happen. But the cooking school with like a, how do you integrate all the different things you can produce from the landscape? Yeah, that kind of concept.
I've got a feeling it's not that far away because it doesn't seem like anything's far away with you. It just seems to happen. When you consider, I mean, you probably don't sit back and do this often, but when you genuinely consider where you are, that only started 3 years prior to COVID, I think you deserve a pretty big pat on the back. And no, and I completely mean that. I really do mean that. I hope you've kicked your feet up and got comfy and enjoying another fantastic episode of the R2 Cast with another really interesting guest. I would just like to quickly take another second to plug the sponsors of the show today, The Scottish Farmer, and I would strongly advise you to go out and pick one up this week and see even more of the fantastic people that are in our industry. The holistic approach you have to it, where everything's considered and so much is encompassed entirely, is amazing. I mean, normally Normally, I bring people on who've diversified or they've created a slightly, and when I say different, I just mean away from the conventional system. Yeah. There's norm. I'll quite often say something like, "Oh, what about this? What about this?" Every time you've explained something, you've said that what about this is in my head. You're either doing it or it's coming. Yeah, it's amazing. Would you be open to students coming to, because I don't know if I mentioned to you, but I'm a lecturer, to students coming to see the place?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the growth of here is kind of showing more people what
Yeah.
it is.
I mean, it's not something that will happen soon because we are 350 miles away, but it would be something to keep in mind and something to keep
But yeah,
from.
if they want to come like stay for a couple of weeks and do a bit of volunteering and
Yeah.
just a little snapshot of it, that's the kind of we do that. We have volunteers.
You do oh, what's it called? It's not agri-tourism. Where you basically have people do that, but they pay for it. I can't remember what it's called. What's it called?
We haven't made people pay for it yet, but
It's a thing.
another
It feels mental, but it is a thing.
thing. I guess that is a thing, isn't it?
It's got a name. That's really frustrating. It's got like, it's either got a volun or tiering in it. I can't remember the name. I can't remember the name.
Guess our take on it would be like come volunteer, and then we're gonna sell you some food and drink alongside that. We'd like give you lunch, but then at the end of the day, there's the opportunity to kind of have a good time.
I'm talking about people literally pay to come and do that. Pay the amount that you would probably pay someone for the day to come and do it. It's
Oh.
massive. It's a major thing, especially in the States. It might be a thing for you, and it might be eye-opening just to see how much could happen when you're getting the labor.
There's something about that feels slightly weird, but if people want to, I guess so.
It's I'm going to talk quickly while I Google to see if I can find the name paying. I'm never going to find that, but yeah, I'll message you after it because it is absolutely something. Dear, it's we spoke for an hour. I don't know if you noticed. It's time sort of flies by when you're having fun. It's genuinely been. Have you heard of Claire Whittle?
Yes.
I thought you might have. If you hadn't, I was going to say you guys need to talk, because she's not miles from you. Well, you're South Wales. She's North Wales, just over the border. But oh no, she's not. She's in North Wales now.
Think we're in some WhatsApp groups together.
What's that?
We're in some WhatsApp groups
I
together.
can believe that. Yeah. Have you spoke to Claire? Like, do you know her well, or just
No, just kind of the name ring.
yeah.
Like she's one of the people that chats in these groups.
You should chat to her. Send her a private message because you guys had got on very well. I did film with her. The podcast was in the last five or six, if you want to go look for it. And yeah, it's just what you're into, and it's just what we all should be into. But I think you two would go on very well. It might be an interesting listen for you. I promise I'm not just plugging my product. Like, I know I've said two different things, but I only do it because I think it's worthwhile. But what you've done in 6 years is mad. I've said that a couple of times. Very impressive, and as I say, big respect to you all involved, for doing so. But there's two questions I ask everyone, near in the end of a podcast. And given I've said in 6 years you've done this, the first question is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And the next question, which you're perfect to answer this, is a few tips for people coming into farming. What would they be?
What's going to happen in 5 years? I think the business is going to mature away from constantly trying new things and trying to innovate and settle into a more mature, like we have our systems in place where we know where the stuff is. We're just kind of running it in a much less reinventing the wheel every weekend. Which will make it a lot calmer, will buy me a lot more time to kind of spend with friends and family, where I have kind of sacrificed quite a lot to to do what's happened over the last few years. So yeah, time and simplicity is what I think we'll get. And then your other question was about advice for people that are thinking about getting into farming. What would the advice be? Some of it would be just go ahead and do it. It's going to be weird and you've got to start, so just get on with it. But don't kind of put yourself in a difficult position if it didn't work out. Like, be aware that there's a lot of people in the industry who are struggling. So the idea that you can go in and just smash it, particularly if you haven't got previous experience, is an ambitious one. But not having previous experience can mean you end up thinking differently. And for everyone, have a mindset of I can learn more and make an effort to learn more. That includes people that work in the industry, of just like chase ideas.
Do you know Josh and Abby Heineke
No.
at Park Carraig? They can't be far from you. They
That
must be. What's that?
rings a bell. Park Carrick. Wait, are they Pembrokeshire sort of way? Are they doing ducks?
Yes, they did ducks,
I
and
think I've met
yeah, unfortunately
them.
it stopped. But I thought yeah, you guys are similar. They've got an interesting system as well, but no. I think the tips are great, and the reason I asked was Josh and Abby started in London, moved to Wales, and Josh openly says he was like, "Why isn't everyone farming? It must be really easy." Sort of kind of almost coming from the perspective. Have you seen that thing with David Mitchell, from Peep Show, and it's like, "Get into farming, put grass in the ground, it fucking grows," like. I think they almost had that opinion. And he openly says this. He's like, this is how I keep it. I was like, how difficult could it be? And he's had this progression to realize that no, it's not that easy. It's not just put it in the ground, it fucking grows, moved from farmer to Croydon there pretty quickly for that accent. But yeah, it's that is important to know. And it's important to know that not everyone's gonna work perfectly. And you guys have done bloody well. It's even most of it works pretty well, but yeah, no, good tips. And your
I guess
five.
it's like, understand why you're getting into it. Are you getting into it because you want a lifestyle? Or are you getting into it because you want to make money? In which case, you have to have a very good idea of why you should probably try elsewhere.
Or like you've done, but I think it's important to note as well what you've done. If everyone doesn't work. Would we agree? Would we disagree?
What I've done, if everyone does, doesn't work. Yes, I don't
I'm
think
not
everyone.
talking about the farm side. I'm talking about the.
I see what you mean. I don't think every farm could do it. There's a few things about here that make it work exceptionally well. Of our barn, just like I'd said before, like how stunning this farm is silly. The barns that we've got somehow hold noise in a way that's incredible.
Oh, really?
We had noise impact assessments done as part of the premise license, and like our nearest neighbor with their window open on a quiet night technically shouldn't be able to hear it.
Right. How near is the nearest neighbor? That's pretty important.
200 meters.
Honestly,
So like
Jesus.
it is, and like the shape of the land holds the sound. And no one can like see us from their house. So there's like a whole lot of things that, and it's like our accessibility to Bristol, London, Cardiff. I don't think you could replicate it everywhere, but there are places you could replicate the idea.
Are you in the London market? I take it with the numbers you're talking about, you are. You're bringing people from London to And is it, I probably should ask you this, is coming to the stuff you guys create, like not the wedding side, obviously that's a different thing, but the sort of the dance nights and that sort of thing that you do, whatever you want to call them, is that a ticketed system? Is that I pay £20, whatever.
Yeah,
Heads up.
people would buy tickets from the event organizers, and then we charge event organizers.
Got you. I hear that. I've got to come down and see it. I've got to. I say this to a lot of people, not gonna lie, I do. I think this is the thing, you film with two pretty interesting folk every week. Every time, like,
That's very
gotta
good
come and see you, you
to
know. But this is pretty near the top of the list, not gonna lie. It ticks a lot of boxes for me. Farming, I love electric-y music. I'm not good at knowing what genres they are, but it's just my type of thing. All my students hate when I put music on because they're like, "Oh, well, listen to country." And I'm like, "Nope, that's what it is." So everything ticks the boxes for me. It really does. So I would quite like the idea coming down, and hopefully it's something we can do in the future. But I appreciate your time here. I hope you enjoyed coming on.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks for having me.
Time sort of flies by when it's a good chat, and it sort of has. That's been well over an hour. For those of you listening, I actually meant to say at the start, I'm just back from America, just yesterday, actually, just landed yesterday. I think in the last well, 3 days, I've had about 8 hours sleep, so it's been fun. But I had a good time out there. If you don't follow me on Instagram, go check it out. I sort of covered what I did. I didn't really see much of America, so and I refuse to see football without American in front of it game, because it is not football. It is hand egg, but it was really entertaining. Absolutely love my time. It took them 4.5 hours to play 60 minutes, and then watched a basketball game, which was really fun as well. Which was, do you know what? I'll be honest, right? I am a soccer football fan. Love watching football. Don't really have any strict affinity to clubs. So I don't really get into that. I just really love the game and love the culture around it, especially World Cups and Euros. But there's such a negative side to football. And Hugh, you mentioned right at the start you're a rugby fan, and I'm not personally, not because. For any reason apart, I just don't watch it. What football misses is the camaraderie and the sort of supportership and the fandom of rugby, where you don't try and kill each other. In football, it's so negative. It's so negative. And I probably didn't realise how bad it was until my co-host in the All In series is a rugby fan, and we talk about it a lot. And the fact that, like, referees are respected, I wasn't used to that because it doesn't happen in football. There's fights all the time. Fans would never sit next to each other unless they were from the same team. Were shown, like what we saw 2 weeks ago, people showing a photo of Bradley Lowry to Sunderland fans, like a kid who died of cancer. Like that stuff happens in football so much. And it made me, I was there with a dad who's got two wee girls, and he was like, I never take my girls to football back home, but I would in America, like American football. And I totally got it. It was such a nice family affair. The music was playing, it was good crack. And we look at it as a sort of soft sport because they wear the pads and stuff. But I really, really thought it was a positive experience, as was the basketball. I enjoyed the football more, but had a really good time with that. And then we went to FFA convention. So the Bones are 70,000 agriculture students. They teach agriculture in high school in America, which is baffling to me. We don't in the UK, having actually seen the system they operate. Really interesting, and it's what my Nuffield's on. So I wasn't planning on going to America, but I think I'm going to struggle not to when I see how good the system is. Just promoting SRUC in that global scale, and I think we'll probably get six or seven pretty hard interest, pretty strong interest to come over, which has made our trip worthwhile a hundredfold given the sort of cost of international tuition. So a very good time in America. Hope to be back another time. Those listening, this all come out at the point that I finally got over my ridiculous 2 months of flying. In 6 weeks, I've been on 13 flights. I think at the point of this being released, I will have finished that last flight. And for reference to you listening and to you as well, before that 6 weeks, I tell you what, before 2.5 months, because it was 17 flights in 2.5 months, I had been on four flights in my life, five flights in my life. So it's all been a bit insane in fairness. I had a good time traveling the world, and it's all just about to get bigger with Nuffield. Brazil in March, and then Singapore, Japan, Switzerland, Holland, Uganda, Kenya, Ethiopia, now probably the States and New Zealand over the next year. So it's going to be a time. I'm very much looking forward to it, looking forward to sharing a lot of it as we go. The next episode, as I said, is with Lucy George. Lucy is one of the Nuffield scholars from this year as well. So yeah, a lot of really good topics in there with a lot of people much smarter than myself. So it's going to be an extremely positive experience all in. But that's been Hugh's story of Three Pools Permaculture Farm, if you're looking on Instagram, or what was the wine?
Devin.
Dewin Wine, that's it, Dewin
Okay.
Wine. If you want to check those two out on Instagram. But Hugh, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. And yeah, hopefully we stay in touch. I hope you've enjoyed another excellent episode of the R2 Cast as much as I have. And I would just like to quickly thank our primary sponsors of the show today, Howden Rural, the new name for A-Plan Rural. If you follow Howden Rural on social media, you'll see the plethora of work that they do to support this sector, and it's been a pleasure to work alongside them so far, and long may it continue. For more information about them, be sure to check out howdeninsurance.co.uk/rural, and I'll see you for the next episode.